This is the Loaf Podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode. Today, arguably, one of our biggest guests so far, Eliud Kipchoge. Perhaps the best marathon runner of all time, multiple Olympic gold medalist, and the only man in the world to run a marathon under 2 hours. Eliud, thanks so much for being with us here today.
Thank you very much, and welcome to this podcast.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in Kenya and enjoying the sunshine here.
That's great. It's good to hear. I mean, yes. We're just discussing before the interview as well, but for those listening, you know, I'm also enjoying the sun here in Malta. So I think there's something about the sun that really boosts the mood. Do you find it easier kind of running when it's sunny, or do you prefer cloudy days?
I prefer cloudy days. You know, sun actually trains a lot, especially with hydration. It needs a lot of hydration, but cloudy actually is, you can enjoy the run, you can actually push your body to the limits, and you know, that's why I like the cloudy days.
No, I get that. I was training for, so actually, it's funny that we're interviewing you now, because yesterday I found out I couldn't do the Paris Marathon, not the Olympic one. I was training and I've injured my knee and so I can't do it. But it's actually true. You wake up and it's a cloudy day, and it seems, at least for me, it seems really depressing. But you end up running and you actually feel much better by the time you get going, because you heat up. So you end up feeling at like the right temperature. But anyway, before we get into the proper questions for you, Eliud, we have a question that we have for every guest, which you actually find out a lot about the person. And that question is, what's your favorite bread? Because we're the Loaf Podcast, what's your favorite bread?
My favorite bread is you know, it's a Kenyan bread that we are making with the local wheat. And just white bread.
Do you eat it on its own, or with like oil or salad, or just on its own?
Yeah. You know, in Kenya we eat bread with tea.
With tea? Ah, nice. Yes. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many people, for example, some people bake their own bread. Some people, a lot of people eat sourdough, especially the ones from London. But it's good to hear something a bit, you know, closer to home.
Our bread in Kenya is, you know, we pack with the normal bread, the white bread. We take with tea, which is actually either with margarine, either with butter.
Cool. So, obviously coming back to your, Kenya and your Kenyan roots, you're obviously from the Kalenjin tribe, where so many elite runners actually come from that tribe. And I was wondering, basically, what do you think is unique about the Kalenjin tribe that A, kind of seems to, you know, birth all these amazing runners, and also culturally, what do you think makes it so special?
I don't think there is a special or actually a rocket science which makes Kalenjin run very fast. I think fast is that they have the physique, actually that the physique is good for running. Secondly, is that the topography, that's the environment in Rift Valley where Kalenjin is residing, actually is conducive for running, especially with altitude. And above all, actually, is all the Kalenjin is in their minds. Running is actually in their minds. I think what drives the old Kalenjin is mind. That's, you know, if any sport actually is in the mind, then you can go very fast. It's like in Kenya, running is the key. If you go to West and North Africa, football is the key. So it's actually about the mind. So in Kalenjin, we have the physique, we have the right environment, topography is up and down, you can train in a good way, altitude is high. But above all, the mind is actually, you know, running actually as its own in the minds of Kalenjin.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess... good thing you weren't in the Maasai, because you would have been a world record jumper, not a world record runner, right?
Yes, I think the Maasai is actually good in jumping, good in javelin, in actually throwing the arrows. And, you know, I think if one day we can make Maasai to be serious enough on sport, then they can get a lot of medals and even break the world records on javelin and high jump. And above all, even the long jump and triple jump, because they like jumping. It's the only thing is to introduce to them the basics of the sport.
Yeah, you're right. So you also you have your coach, Patrick Tsang, who you grew up with. And it's really cool that you've kept the same kind of coach from beginning and onwards as you progress in your career. Where's the success with the relationship with you with Patrick Tsang? Because usually people would like take a coach. It's kind of their first coach. And they're like, okay, you know, this is in a relaxed way. And once you get professional, you move on. But Patrick has been like a cornerstone of your success. What's the success in your relationship, and why is Patrick such a good coach?
The real success actually is listening. It's called the empathic listening. I listen enough to what Patrick is saying. I believe and trust that what Patrick carries in his mind is what I believe. You know, they always say that if you are a CEO of a company, you need to tell your employees what you believe. And if you tell all the employees actually what you believe, then employees will work by the sweat, by blood, and by tears to make sure that the company actually grows. On my side, myself, is that I believe the beliefs for Patrick is working hard, being consistent, being trustworthy, and value-oriented person, which I believe myself that I have the right values to move on in sport. I am trusting, you know, enough as far as what Patrick is giving me with the program and advice actually that he gives me. I'm trying to be consistent in training. I am working as hard as possible to make sure that I complete what I am doing in a good way, in an easy way, and in a lovely way. And that's what made us to stick for the last 21 years. And I think if the values actually has made us to stay for 21 years, then I don't think anything else can break us.
Yeah, I think, and this is something that we wanted to talk quite a lot about, this idea of the underlying values of you as a person, and I think that drives your success so much. And I wanted to read out for our listeners one of your quotes, which I found really really powerful while doing the research. And you say, only the disciplined are free in life. If you are undisciplined, you are a slave to your moods. You are a slave to your passions. I was wondering if you could maybe expand on that a little bit and for our listeners kind of give a message of motivation there.
As only the disciplined ones are free in life, and those who are actually not disciplined are actually prisoners or slaves of their passions. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is that if you are self-disciplined, and you know the meaning of self-discipline is sacrificial of your personal pleasures and passions. If you sacrifice what you think actually you should be doing, and you know you work with that self-discipline all the time, then there is no need for you to think outside the lane. You only wake up, do the right things at the right time. And you know, if you make it as a habit, and cause all you know, small things every day, then it will be actually your lifestyle. And the moment it comes, it becomes your lifestyle, then you are now free in life, because you can't explain to anybody that this is my way. They know by themselves that that's the way of that person. And that person actually need to live that way. And that way actually can lead you to success. And many people can actually decide themselves, be self-disciplined, get self-discipline actually as a lifestyle in their lives. They can wake up with it, walk with it, sleep with it. And you know, that's the way, that's the only way to live.
That's amazing. I've heard you on another podcast talk about vitamin N,
yes,
which is obviously, I'll let you explain in a second, but roughly vitamin N is vitamin no. Saying no to parties, saying no to going out, saying no to staying on your phone when you should be sleeping. So the way I want to make the question new is to ask you, how would you instill vitamin N in your kids? Which I think is the important question, because that's how would you get people to be disciplined that aren't you? What do you do to get vitamin N going?
I always say that vitamin N is the courage to say no. And you know, all the things that I am saying, I'm starting with myself and starting with my kids. That's my family. I will give you an example that because I normally walk with my kids to supermarkets. And if my kids actually demanded something that's not in our budget, I will automatically say no. This is for another time. And a kid actually can be annoyed immediately, but I'm the parent. I have the courage to tell my kid this is not possible. And at the end of it, my kid will accept, will move on because I'm their father. And their father is saying no to buying sweets today. Next time we'll buy sweets. That's an example of myself. That's an example of instilling the vitamin N to my kids. You know, even where I always explain to them that if you don't like something, say no. And don't explain about saying no. Just say no. That's enough. I'm not working on this. I don't like this. And that's enough. Be happy. Move on. And people actually will recognize you by your stand. You know, what we need in this world is standing by what you are doing at the same time what you are saying. So personally, I stand on what I'm doing and what I'm saying. And I started, they say charity begins at home. So I started myself with my family, especially my kids, and moving outside the door to tell the general community, let us have vitamin N, is that I have actually research enough. I have actually met my kids as an example. And actually they have succeeded in accepting and knowing that if it's no, it's no. And you know, not every day is yes, yes, yes. And not every day is no, no, no. But the good thing is to have courage to say no.
Yeah, I think I really like that vitamin N is, you know, it's one word. It's powerful, and it, in some ways, it's simple, and it kind of bypasses. Nowadays, there's so much rhetoric around how to live the most fulfilled life, and it can get a little bit confusing and complicated. But the idea of vitamin N for me is really powerful because it really breaks everything down into one single word. You know, the ability to say no, and coming from that, I was wondering, why do you think nowadays modern life, modern young people as well, why do you think they might struggle a little bit with determination and grit? What do you think that comes down to?
The modern generation actually will struggle. Reason number one is that they want their lives to be get a good life very fast. And you know, life is not a one-night event. You cannot actually sleep and wake up when your life actually is different. You know, I'll give you an example, doctor. If you go to the gymnasium, if you work for 10 hours at the gym, you cannot get a good fit and actually energetic muscles. But if you go to the gymnasium for 6 months, you will be fit, you will get good muscles, which can actually drive you as the fittest human being. It's like life. So I'm telling actually this new generation, the modern generation, that life is not a one-night event. Life is actually slowly by slowly. Life actually is we take baby steps in order for us to grow in life and enjoy life. So an example is the gymnasium. If you go for 10 hours and you expect to have a good muscles and be fit enough, that's not actually, it cannot happen. But if you go to the gymnasium for 6 months, you will be fit. You will actually get great muscles. So it's a symbol, but it's art, but it needs those people who understand, you know, go actually as far in baby steps, understand the road. You know, the road is not always smooth. The road has a lot of bumps. The road has potholes on the way. You can step. It's like when you are driving, you can actually get puncture on the way. But life must continue. You should wake up. Make sure your vehicle is going on well and move on.
I think it's such a, you're right, it's such a modern thing of like, you just want the reward without the work. But actually, the work is kind of what makes the reward amazing. You train. Obviously, I failed the marathon because I'm injured, but what I was experiencing is you train super hard and you put in all the work, and then the actual race day is more like a celebration because you put in so much work. But if you showed up on the day, no training to do a marathon, even if you were fast enough, even if you could run far enough without the training, you wouldn't get the same, I think, like reward out of it as you would with all the training and all the months and all the hard work put in. And I think that's like, it's the same with like get rich quick schemes that you have on the internet. Everybody just wants the thing straight away. But you intrinsically love running. And I want to run, I want to read another quote to you, if that's okay, from you, which I love from another interview. We need to live in harmony. We need to live in peace. And that's what I'm actually working for. Can you tell us about that quote and about why you run and how you're helping to create that peace through what you're doing?
I said you need to live in harmony. You need to live in peace in order for you to be successful, enjoy running and enjoy life. What I mean is this, that if your mind actually is in peace and your environment actually is in harmony, then it gives you the good and, you know, the best time to train, to relax, to enjoy life with the family, and to actually put on the whole work. If there is no harmony in your life, if there is no peace in your life, you cannot do anything at all. You cannot even finish your training because your mind is full. Your mind is not in a peace way, in a peaceful manner, whereby you can think and, you know, do the trainings the way you want in an enjoyable way. And if you are not in harmony with people, if you are not in harmony with yourself, with the family, and, you know, with all sorts of people surrounding you and the general environment, then you cannot move. You can't even actually make one step. So the good thing is that you walk fast with your peace surround about it. You make your surrounding peaceful. You make all your teammates actually to talk in a peaceful way. You create that harmony in your environment and you are ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, just to bring it back, because I really want to kind of ask in a really straightforward way and for our listeners. And I think a clear answer here might be quite insightful for those listening. If I had to ask you, Eliud Kipchoge, why do you run? Or what would you tell me?
I run because running is life. What I mean is this. I run fast is that to make myself held and fit, to make my mind actually think in a good way, to make my body actually fit and allow me to sleep and hit in a good way. Above all is that running actually has exposed myself that I can inspire someone around the world to run and enjoy life. And that's why I always say, let us make this world a running world. And if all of us, we can make this world a running world, then it will be a better world, a united world, and a peaceful world.
What do you think the average person, like just anybody who hasn't run before, or everybody runs a little, but somebody who's not getting into running, what do you think that one person can get from beginning to run as well, even if it's not as far, even if it's not as fast? What do you think we can gain from running?
I always say the only place where freedom is in running. So if you are not running, you are a prisoner.
Wow. I mean, what kind of, does it need to be these long distances? That's part of my question. Does it need to be timed or is like kind of a run in the park? Is that enough, would you say, to an average person?
It doesn't mean whether you run long or short, but get out of your door. Get shoes, put on your shoes, put on your attire, run for 40 minutes, 1 hour. You enjoy that freedom actually during running. Get those ideas which are coming in and put in paper. And you know, if you get out of your door and run, that's how to enjoy life. It's not about running for 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, or running a marathon. It's about getting out of your door and run. Just getting out of the door and just run. run for 40 minutes, 1 hour, and you feel that that freedom. You feel that freedom actually in running, both in your body and in your mind.
I think running is one of those things where it takes a second. You have to get the fitness to be able to enjoy the run, because at the beginning, what you're actually doing is suffering. Like when you first, if you're unfit, for example, you start running and you feel it's very difficult. But once you start to get into a rhythm and you can run 5 kilometers, for example, even without worrying, it feels amazing, and it feels like you're free. So I guess that's kind of what the normal person can get before they try running.
Absolutely.
I would say though, just to push back on Ollie and get your opinion there, do you think that maybe suffering in running is a necessary part of it? Do you think it's good to suffer a little bit?
It's pain and suffering actually are two crucial or important actually values. You know, we need to know and respect pain. We need to have ways of nurturing pain. You know, pain is part of life. Pain is part of running. And if you can nurture that pain, respect that pain, then you are ready to go. You are ready to run for long. You know, we don't actually accuse and say, no, it's painful, or we suffer. No, that suffering is what makes you a person. That suffering is what makes you a human being. Anybody running can solve any problem anywhere, in any section, in any profession at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with David Goggins. Have you heard of him?
No,
David Goggins. Anyway, he's a runner. He's not really Olympic runner, but he's also kind of this mentality that running's like a good way to kind of deal with pain, deal with suffering, and also kind of like diving headfirst into it. I guess coming from that, do you see sometimes running as also a really good antidote to bad mental health nowadays in 2024, where mental health is really spoken about, and there seems to be this issue with people being depressed and stuff. Do you think running is a good kind of cure for that?
Running actually is the medicine. You know, it's running cures every disease. You know, I always say running is like movement. I always say, let us move. And you know, I'll give you an example. If you can make movement a bill, or if you can bottle movement, then you'll be the richest person in this world. If any human being can bottle movement one day, that 500 milliliters of actually bottled movement will be sold at the cost of $1 trillion. So if you happen to bottle it, let us bottle it and sell it. We'll be the richest people in this world. So running is the cure for any disease. They say if you feel actually stressed, get out of your door and run, and you'll actually come back when you are free.
So I wanted to talk about, in terms of helping people in general, like you were talking about, running being the medicine. Running is also needs the clean, fresh air. And I haven't seen you talk about it on a podcast before. Could you tell us a little bit about the Eliud Kipchoge Foundation, what you're doing for the climate, and also what you're doing for the kids?
Eliud Kipchoge Foundation actually is, I think it's the right foundation for this world, because we are dealing with three things. We are dealing with the conservation of the environment, education, and health, which running can cover to all three aspects. On conservation, actually, we are top the forests. We plant trees and actually advocate to make this world a green world. And we always say, if our world is green, then our water is blue. And we are telling everybody, in your anniversary, in your party, in your wedding day, in your anything that actually we call anniversary, let us not actually celebrate by organizing big parties. Let us plant trees. If you are 20 years old, instead of actually going around for a trip because it's your party, plant 20 trees. If you are actually 8 years old, plant 80 trees. And you know, the world is about 6 billion people. And everybody, in all these 6 billion people, everybody has his own, his or her own body. But that if all of us can plant trees, we can make this planet green in only 1 year. Only 1 year. If all of us can actually understand each other, respect each other, and put everything in practice. That's what my foundation is advocating as far as conservation is concerned. On education, we build libraries. I've started with one. My mind actually about the foundation is building another 46 libraries across Kenya. And if all goes well, I want to build a library in every public primary and secondary school in Kenya and maybe extend to East Africa. And you know, I value education because education is what takes you places. Education actually is what keeps you the third leg transfer fast, keeps you the third hand to actually walk in everywhere you are doing. That's the second actually aspect. The third aspect is health. I'm advocating actually to every citizen in our country, in continent, in Africa, in the whole world, to make running a lifestyle. And you know, making running a lifestyle, that's being held. I always tell people, if you get out of your door and run for 40 minutes, it's like actually kicking away the doctor. You will no longer buy fruits actually every day. You know, one apple costs actually about $1. And if you run, you will no longer actually buying a lot of things to make you health. You'll become health direct. You'll not be visiting doctors all the time. Because actually it reduces expense. So let us run in order to make this world and ourselves health. Let us actually run and inject education into all our citizens. And that's what I'm doing by building libraries and kindergartens in this country. And above all, let us make this country, this world a green world. And that's why I'm advocating that in any anniversary, be it a birthday, any anniversary, let us plant trees. And if you plant trees, we'll make this world a green world. You know, we're no longer organizing meetings every now and then about and annual actually talking about environment. We'll plant the trees across the world only in 1 year and we are done. It's only time to take care of.
Yeah, I think this is a good segue into your Ineos run. So for those who don't know, for those listening, Eliud Kipchoge, you ran a marathon under 2 hours. And it's an extraordinary feat. And I was wondering, I mean, you've spoken before about it in other podcasts, you know, what you're trying to achieve with it to inspire people, but specifically for young people, because Ollie and I, you know, we're still 20 and we're coming up to be the next generation of people on planet Earth. What is your really message to young people and how do you think your running and, for example, your Ineos 1 hour, 59 minute run contributes to making this world a better place?
First and foremost is that I dedicated Ineos 159 challenge to the whole world, to the next generation, the present generation, and the old generation. That's why I always say, no human is limited. What I mean is this. It's not about running. It's about life. It's about the professions that... it's about those journalists. It's about those teachers. It's about those engineers. It's about those architects, the businessmen, the leaders, that you are not limited at all. You can go and surpass that leadership and provide the greater leadership nobody can think of. You can actually teach the children in a good way and build a lot of schools if you are a teacher. You can actually start a lot of factories if you are engineers, and you know, you are not limited at all. The only thing is that the limitation that we have is in our minds. So let us remove the limitations, move on, enjoy this world. Let us actually fight for this world because it belongs to all of us. I always tell people, this world belongs to all of us. Nobody is owning it. So we are not limited at all. Let us conserve it. Let us fight in this world with the right values. Let us inject ourselves with the right values and, you know, move on. Any profession, make sure you bring change. Change. And that's what I mean by no human is limited. With the next generation, let us think and ask ourselves, how will the world look like in the next 20 years? Mm-hmm. And because we are not limited, we'll have ideas. actually to make this world a better one.
I think that's what's really powerful about your message is most of the time you look at an elite athlete like yourself, and the classic reaction from somebody on the couch is, oh, well, they're just not like me. Oh, they're just, you know, they're different. They're made different. But with you, I think I've heard that when you began, obviously you ran to school, but when you began training for running, you felt that you actually weren't particularly fast compared to the others, which I think is almost like the most important part of the whole thing is now you're Eliud Kipchoge, and before you were just Eliud Kipchoge and you weren't that fast, but you kept training, you kept believing, and you didn't let yourself be limited. So what I'd ask is, when did you start to believe that you could do something with running from your training and that something was going to happen, despite at the beginning not feeling, as most people do when they begin anything new, despite not feeling like you're the best at the beginning?
You know, when I was in school, actually, I used to run, but becomes victorious, and, you know, beating everybody. But I didn't know that I can run, and I knew to this level. After school, then my coach is my neighbor. I always see him training around. Then I asked myself one day, why don't I train and start actually to run in a professional way, to go to Europe and actually see whether I can actually compete with other people. I start training. I approached him. He gave me the program. I trained, and that's who I am now. So what I'm trying to say is that with anybody who feels that he or she can do anything, give it a try. Give it a try. Do it. And you realize that you can do it. So let us not actually have a dream that we cannot dare to try. Let us dare to dream and dare to try. And you'll actually realize that you can do better. You can do wonders in this world.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point, as far as I'm aware, where you had a bit of a low point in your athletics career, if I'm correct. And that's kind of what led to you switching to running the marathon, How significant was this change in your life? Obviously now you've broken records in marathon running and you get, for me at least, the best. How significant was that moment when you switched to marathon running?
In 2012, I missed a slot to London Olympics. And you know, I ran 5,000 meters and 3,000 meters for 10 years. And, you know, I was successful. I'd not missed any championship for 10 years, be it Commonwealth, be it Olympics, be it World Championships for 10 years. 2012, I missed a slot. And then I make a decision that I came back, we sit on the table with the management and the coach that now I missed a slot. What will happen? Then the aspect of making transition to the road came in and I took it. Let me actually leave track and field. Let me transfer and transit to the road, running 10K, 15K, half marathon, and finally actually graduating to the marathon. And you know, I make a firm decision, no retreat, no surrender at all. Let us move on. I move in one faith and you know, and see actually focus on the trophy. Focus on the goal that I set. And that's who I am now.
Like I said earlier, people often have the thing of, oh, well, they're not quite like me. This elite athlete, you, for example, oh, well, they're different. They're made better. And like we just talked about, you've had that low point. You've had that low point more than once. And you're human like the rest of us. So to ask for the humans, an advice, which I don't think you've talked about much before, if you were starting from point zero and you'd never run a day in your life and you wanted to run a marathon, from a training perspective, not from a mindset perspective, what would you tell somebody to do and how would you tell them to train for their first marathon?
For actually the raw person, the new person in running, the new person in marathon, the new person in road races, is that my best advice is just to start to run. Don't actually confuse yourselves by doing other things. just wake up, accept to say I'm running, just run. You know, every day will change. If you run today 3 kilometers, tomorrow you'll run 3, the next day you'll run 5, and you know you are growing every day, every day, every day. So my best advice, get good shoes, good attire, get out of your door and run. You realize a lot. A lot will change. You will enjoy a lot. You will actually have different mindset on running if you start running.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that everyone should be doing, and I should be doing more of. And you're a great role model, and you've achieved so much in your career. So I wanted to shift the conversation now, as we kind of come towards the end of our conversation, shift the conversation to the present, you know, to the now and your career right now. You recently ran in Tokyo and didn't get the results that you necessarily wanted. I was wondering, what are your plans for the future now? How are you expecting to bounce back from that? And what can you learn from the 2024 Tokyo run?
I've learned that you can train in a good way, be in a good shape, but putting in practice, actually, something will remain unlocked, and you know disappointments will come in. But you know, they always say a coin has two sides. But in life, that's three sides. That's thinking big. So personally, I did not succeed as far as Tokyo Marathon is concerned. I feel that I was really disappointed to train for 4 or 5 months without getting the real results. But that's not the end of the life. I need to think big. I need to come back to Kenya, put in the table with my right system, move on, prepare for Olympics, try to fight again for the honors in Olympic Games. And you know, my aim is to inspire as many people as I can. You know, in order, that's why I always say, I want to make this world a running world. It's no longer about anything else. It's about inspiration. If all of us, if tomorrow you can tell me the whole world has accepted to be a running world, I'll retire.
One of the things often that's talked about with you in running is, and this shows in the Tokyo Marathon, is a very perceptive runner of how you're feeling and how to adjust at different points in the race. For example, if you're slightly off kilter, off to the side. And in the Tokyo Marathon, your first half was your like first split was faster, and then you adjusted and still managed to get a really good finish, even though it seems like you were struggling at some point. So why do you think you had to adjust? What do you think went wrong at a certain point, and how can we make it better in the future?
My body actually is not respond after halfway. And the only way actually was to concentrate purely and put my mind on actually crossing the finishing line to show people that you can have a bad day. You can have a pain as you feel. The body can refuse actually to react. Something can remain unlocked, but you can still push yourselves, you know, to show that human body can be pushed to the limits all the time. And, you know, even if you don't actually be on your right position, but still push. So I changed my mind to just run in a comfortable pace and make sure that I finish in good time, not the position, but make sure I cross the finishing line. And, you know, the going out of the finishing line, actually, it was a registration of finishing the marathon. And you know, showing that I have run over 20 marathons.
Yeah, and speaking of kind of good finishes in a marathon, I think it's important now as we close off to look to the 2024 Olympics, which are coming back. And correct me if I'm wrong, no one has ever won 3 gold medals in a row when it comes to the marathon. What are you aiming for in this Olympics?
I'm aiming for that, to win for 3 gold medals consecutively, back to back to back. I think that's what is in my mind. I'll try my best to push myself. I'll try my best to make sure I get that medal to win 3 times, to inspire people and tell the next generation that longevity is the key, and you can still actually make a call and actually pursue that call and make that call happen. That's what is in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, we're really looking forward to your performance at the Olympics. And, you know, we also wanted to say huge thank you for joining us today. And we're wishing you the best of luck for the Olympics. Do you have any concluding thoughts for our listeners and for me and Ollie?
For our listeners, actually, please enjoy this podcast. Let us be positive in life. You know, this world belongs to all of us. Everybody who is actually going to listen to this podcast, please help me by making this world a running one. To the two of you, actually, Lucas and Holly, let us continue with interaction to many people, sell the sport in this country, in this world. And, you know, sport is a universal profession whereby it can make people to meet together, to think together and enjoy life. As I say, let us tell people that where there is freedom is only in running. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And I really resonate with your message about making the world a running world. I've already started a little bit. Hopefully soon Lucas will start. Hopefully he'll get a little bit of running in as well.
But Lucas is in Malta. I think that island is good for running. He can start tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It is, to be fair.
It's a beautiful island. I've been once.
Yes.
But well, thank you so much, Eliud. Asante sana. It's been a pleasure. And this is the Loaf Podcast signing off with Eliud Kipchoge.